This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning, DMV. So YC, Linnell Willingham, will take you up to noon Eastern time. The DOC, Rick Doc Walker, will take you throughout your Saturday afternoon. Mad Max behind the glass, taking your calls at 1-800-636-1067. It's been a while since we got the Saturday slot. Oh, Mad Max. This is, I always say it, man. I enjoy, first of all, I love what I do. And to get to do it on a Saturday morning when all of you lunatics are out there, out and about, not in the workplace, maybe the takes on the phones will improve because you all have had a good night's sleep. You weren't dealing with that lunatic in your office space. Welcome. We got a lot to get to over the next 3 hours. Me and you, no guests. We're rocking and rolling. We were on the air last night, myself and the other ginger that produces here
yes,
nights
that's right.
and weekends.
We have multiple reds.
Yes. Mad Max behind the glass today. It was young Ben Strober last night, and he was just, Max, you know he is a Maryland Terrapin.
Oh, yes.
You know he is someone that actually is a part of the student radio broadcast at the University of Maryland.
He sure is.
He was like a kid in a candy shop last night as Rodney Rice went Kanye crazy. Maryland belt to ass over number 24 Illinois last night. Terps 88-65 winners. Maryland 11 of 23 from the great beyond last night. And I mentioned Rodney Rice. Boy, oh boy, was that a hell of a land in the portal. 7-9, 26 points. That's 7-9 from the great beyond, by the way.
Sheesh.
2 3-pointers shy of breaking the Big Ten record for most threes in a Big Ten tournament game. Maryland as a team shot at 11 of 23. I don't know what I was more impressed with last night. The one thing that we've always continued to say about this Maryland basketball team is, hey, look, Kevin Willard's teams are going to do one thing. They're going to defend. They're going to give you maximum effort on that end of the floor. We know that. But their intentionality that they had this year in the portal, going out and getting the perimeter shooting that they've lacked over the past couple of seasons, I mean, to me, this is what a good program does, and I'm excited for Kevin Willard because all it takes, to me at least, you're 11th, you finished the AP Top 25 poll for the regular season, ranked 11th in the country. Maryland, when everything is clicking, when they're playing well, is a national basketball program, is the way that I would describe them. They've got clout and cachet across all of college basketball because of the rich tradition and history of this program, right? And I think what we're seeing right now with this Terrapins team, a group that dots their I's and crosses their T's, play with great detail offensively. They play with great detail on the defensive end. They talk, they communicate. And here's the big thing for me. I think any team that is poised to make an extended run in the NCAA tournament, they have to have certain ingredients, right? And for Maryland, I think they've got them all. They check every last box. We talked about the defense. Last night we saw them show some full court pressure. But during the regular season, that 2-3 matchup zone that they've played has given teams fits. They got the defense on the interior. Julian Reese, Derek Queen. Last night, Juju Reese at the basket on defense was awesome. How the hell he didn't make Big Ten all-defensive team? Don't know. But when they get deep into the month of March, when they get later into the real NCAA tournament, I think those two, talking about the front court of Julian Reese and Derek Queen, they are going to be paramount for the success of this basketball team. You talk to folks around the program, Juju and DQ are like frickin' frack. Those two are always with each other. Derek Queen, the baby-faced assassin. I just continue to be impressed. And I think he's got the right temperament to be geared up and ready for the NCAA tournament. Because I'll be real, right? Max, you remember during the college football season when Ohio State lost to Michigan. That, to me, was like the game that propelled them to win the national title because it refocused them. It made them reset themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Going into last night against a damn good Illinois team, and maybe it happens 3:30 Eastern time, over on the Team 980, you'll hear Maryland and Michigan in the Big Ten semifinals. But maybe, just maybe, tonight's that loss for them. Because like I said, I kind of want them to lose, if that makes sense.
It does, because they're not a particularly deep team.
Right,
and
exactly.
Yeah, you don't want them to gas out in the conference tournament. You'd rather them try and make a run in the big tournament.
Exactly. So if there's going to be a moment for them to go cold offensively, I'd like it to happen in the Big Ten tournament. But after the way they shot the ball last night, they're not going cold anytime soon. As I mentioned, Roddy Rice, 7-9 from the three-point line. Maryland is a team, 11-23, shooting at a 48% clip. They missed 7 free throws last night. It wasn't perfect, but it was damn near perfect. I look at their effort on the defensive end of the floor last night and really go, you know, if the shots aren't falling, right, and your depth perception is off at a certain arena that you shoot in, one thing that's going to travel is the Terps defense. They turned Illinois over 17 times last night. 17 Illinois turnovers turned into 22 Terrapin points. Terps only turned it over 3 times, so it shows you what type of game it was. To score 57 points in an opening half, I mean, it shows you what type of night it was. As they get geared up for this afternoon's matchup against Michigan, and just a reminder, you can hear that over on our sister station, the Team 980. I believe pregame coverage gets going at 3:15, tip-off set for 3:30 between Michigan and Maryland. If you remember, these two teams played about a week and a half ago in Ann Arbor, and it was a rock fight to start the game. It really was. Both teams kind of struggled to get it going offensively. In that second half, early in the second half, Vlad Goldin goes on a little bit of a run himself, but ultimately, you know, the Terps ended up pulling away in that basketball game, 71-65. I think it's going to be a tough one. Now, here's the other thing, right? Clearly last night, if you watched Terps and Illinois, Illinois played the night before, and it looked like it. Do we see that today between Michigan and Maryland? Because here's the thing, and I think if we do see it, well, I guess both teams had sizable victories last night, so they got the opportunity to rest some of their guys. Danny Wolf went crazy. 18 points, 11 boards, 6 dimes. That's what I worry about. This is this Michigan team, and Michigan State for that matter, is probably the most difficult front court matchup that the Terps are going to have to deal with for a while here before we get into the tournament. And depending on who your matchup is in the tournament, there aren't many teams that have two bona fide bigs in the middle like Michigan does, like Michigan State does. So a position group or a spot where you normally have an advantage, talking about DQ and Julian Reese, you're not going to have that advantage tonight against Michigan. I think it's more of a stalemate, and we'll see ultimately who comes out on top. I think the difference is this, though. The guards that Maryland has, Rodney Rice, Selton Miguel, Jacoby Gillespie, all guys capable of going for 30 at any given moment. And you saw it last night with Rodney Rice. And some of the shots he made last night were just trick shots. I mean, there was one, he got hurt, pops up from injury, then hits an and one three. Watching it in real time last night, I'm like, dude, I know this Terps team could go. But last night, I think they proved something to me. Last night, they looked like a juggernaut. And if they're knocking down shots, they're going to be a really, really tough out. A really, really tough out. We'll keep you up to speed on Terps in Illinois throughout the day here on 106.7 The Fan. You can catch it over on our sister station, though, the Team 980 with coverage. Getting going at 3:15. Chris Knocke, Johnny Holiday on the call. Coming up at 3:30, keeping it on the round ball. Wizards back in action tonight after a big-time victory in Motown the other night over the Detroit Pistons. They continue their road trip. I believe, let me pull up the schedule, they're in Denver tonight. It is, wow. They're in Denver tonight, and it's game number 5 of what is a 8-game road trip for the Washington Wizards. They're back in town. Coming up Friday night against the Orlando Magic. Special game that is, right? The DJ Diesel in the house on the ones and twos doing what it do. Excited to see Shaq. I didn't know he was a real DJ.
Oh, yeah. I saw him at Camden Yards.
You like, were saying last, that.
Last summer. It was quite a show.
I can imagine. He is an entertaining guy, to say the least. How I would
that
describe the Diesel. I know I will be in attendance for that. I'm super geeked up and excited to see.
Ladies night.
It's ladies' night, too. Well, look at that.
Women's night. I'm sorry.
Women's night. I'm sorry. Well, the connotation changes.
It does.
A little bit. When I think of women's night, I think about honoring our women in power and our great ladies that we have here in the DMV. When I think of ladies' night, I think of it more being geared toward the concert. Everybody ready to have a good time,
listen,
shucking and jiving.
It can be both.
It can be both. We are in D.C., where we love our half and half, so we can have half ladies' night, half women's night. There we go.
First half women's night, second half ladies' night.
Speaking of the Wizards, though, I don't know if you knew this, Max. Keyshawn George is seven games away, from history.
Oh, yeah?
He has made a three in 27 consecutive games. 27 consecutive games with a three for Keyshawn George. The rookie record is held by two guys. Rudy Fernandez, and I got to look up who the other guy is, but if you're a hoop head, you know Rudy Fernandez gets buckets. It's Rudy Fernandez and Landry Shamet tied at 33 straight games with a three as a rookie. Second place, you know you wouldn't go too far on this list without finding his name. Stephen Curry and Keegan Murray tied with 32 threes consecutive games. Wow, 32 threes in consecutive games? No. 32 consecutive games with a three. That was Steph Curry and Keegan Murray. Obviously, we know about Steph and then Keegan Murray of the Sacramento Kings. I think the number – Monumental flew the graphic Thursday night is when they played Detroit. They flew the graphic on the screen Thursday night. And you know how the setup is here in studio, Max. Like, I have the computer right in front of me, and mm-hmm. then the TV is, like, in my peripheral.
Yeah.
So I see it. It's up there for a hot second, then they take it down. I read it, but when you see the graphic in words saying that Keyshawn George has the fourth longest streak for a rookie for threes in a game, or for a game with a three, you go, huh? There's no way he's playing that well.
Like, is that a real stat?
Those are the best stats. The best stats seem fake.
Yeah.
But I realized. And Keyshawn shooting the ball really well. This young Wizards team, they won the other night against Detroit, and I was kind of annoyed by it because it's like, damn, what are you doing winning games? But the way that they played, I think it was a valiant effort. And each and every night, you're seeing more and more reasons to be optimistic about this group. Each and every night, you're getting another reason. You're getting another reason to feel like, you know what? Despite getting beat over the head with multiple 16-game losing streaks in this season, despite that, there is a whole lot of promise for this group moving forward. There just is. And as the season, you know, it's crazy. They're in the midst of an 8-game road trip. When they come home from that road trip, the season pretty much winds down. The home finale is Wednesday, April the 9th. Yuck. Against the Sixers of all teams, who will be without Paul George, without Joel Embiid. The season slowly but surely winding down. We got the news earlier in the week. If you've been living under a rock, I guess it's the best way I can describe it. Bilal Coulibaly out for the remainder of the regular season, most likely. Will Dawkins joined the Sports Junkies on Friday and gave the 4 to 6 week timetable, but he did leave the door open for a potential return in the final 2 or 3 games for Bilal. Looking at him here real quick while we got some time, I just think his second year, one, there's an argument to be made that he took a little bit of a step back on the offensive end, but I really think that's more so with the jump shot with him. His year two numbers are not bad. The thing that I don't like is it's 2 consecutive seasons of Bilal not finishing the year. Last year, he only played in 63 games. This year, it's only 59 games. Points per game goes up by 4. The assists go from right under 2 to about 3.5. The usage obviously goes up. This is what I like about Bilal. Last year, he had 3.9 two-point attempts per game, shot 50%. This year, that number jumps up to right under 7 two-point attempts per game, and the percentage stays exactly the same. And it shows when you watch him, I thought he was much better this year attacking, getting downhill, and finishing at the rim. Here's the caveat, right? When he decided to do so. See, moving forward, that's what I want to see more of from Bilal. I need him to be more assertive, more aggressive on the offensive end, knowing when he's got a man beat, knowing that he can get downhill. We know the athleticism that this kid has. I mean, how many highlight reel dunks did we see this past season from Bilal Coulibaly? And I feel like as we continue to grow throughout his career, you're going to see more and more of those highlight plays. What I need him to work on this summer, and I think it'll be the case every summer, and maybe it's on the Wizards to get a shooting coach in here. Last year, he shot right under 3 three-pointers a game. This year, he shot about 4. Last year, he shot 35% from 3. This year, just 28. So the shooting numbers went down a little bit. Need to see that improve for Bilal Coulibaly. A lot to get to as we're riding around the DMV with you here on this Saturday morning. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll discuss the Wizards' roommate at Cap One Arena is the best way that I can describe them. The Washington Capitals, they're back in action tonight against one of the worst teams in hockey. Get you a Caps and Sharks preview coming up next on The Fan.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Just get rolling as we take you on your Saturday morning around the DMV. It's the Youngest in Charge and L. Willingham. I'll take you up the noon Eastern time. The DOC, Rick Doc Walker, takes you from there. Busy day around the Beltway. Make sure you keep it locked right here on the Team 980 as well as 106.7 The Fan. Terps basketball gets underway at 3:30 right here on the Team 980. I'm saying right here on the Team 980 because we are simulcasted, are we not, my friend?
That's right.
We are simulcasted, always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. Like I said, busy day around the DMV, though. Wizards in action tonight as they continue their 8-game West Coast road trip. They're in Denver taking on the Nuggets, who are playing the second half of a back-to-back. We were actually just watching the highlights in the studio on SportsCenter. No LeBron, no Luka last night, but the Lakers almost stole one from Nikola Jokic in the Nuggets. We were just talking about the Joker, Max. He's averaging a
he's
triple.
He's a monster.
Bubble. He's a monster. The fact that his nickname is the Joker, nothing about him is a joke. Jamal Murray hit a clutch three last night that gave the Nuggets a 2-point lead, and then they turned it over on the inbounds pass. Russell Westbrook steals it, and that kind of sealed their fate. As they were 131-126 winners. Lakers right now trying to do their best to stay afloat without LeBron James and Luka Doncic. Before that injury, they had gotten up to the second seed of the Western Conference. And now as we sit here, March the 15th? Lakers have slid all the way down to the 5 seed in the Western Conference. There is a 2-game difference between L.A. and Denver. Denver right now holds the 2 seed in the West. Lakers are the 5 seed, but there's 2 games separating those two. So, was there something you was about to say, Max?
Yeah, there's just a Jokic clip that he won me over immediately with a couple years ago. He was running to the court.
Yeah.
And he's unforgiving. The lightning is coming. Just incredible, man. It makes me laugh every time I think about it.
And he is a different type of cat when it comes to the great superstars in the NBA. Wizards are going to try to take down Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets tonight in Denver. I was efforting to talk to my guy Josh Robbins of The Athletic, who covers the Wizards, and he said, no, young lad, I'm getting ready to board a flight to Denver. And I said, safe travels, my friend. And I meant that. If you all know the state of airfare right now in the United States. Elsewhere in the world of sports, we got Caps hockey back in action tonight. Excited to see that. Let's just say the hockey gods are on the Cap side for this reason. For them to go cold the other night the way that they did offensively against L.A.,
mm-hmm.
What better group to get right against than the lowly San Jose Sharks? 18-40-9 heading in to tonight's contest. It's a 5 p.m. faceoff, by the way. Pregame coverage just going at 4:45 right here on the Fan. I am eager to see how they bounce back.
I am too.
Yeah. When you look at that group, it's similar to how we were talking about with the Terps. If they're going to have lulls offensively, if they're going to struggle with the puck, let's have it happen here in this final stretch and then get back warmed up start of April when you play the Rangers at the Garden on April the 6th. That'd be a good time to start playing good ball again, or start playing good puck again, excuse me. And I think the irony about what happened the other night is that it's against Darcy Kemper, and Darcy's been
he's had
it's terrible here. He's actually having a good year.
Yeah, he's had a top five year, as has Logan Thompson. So I mean it kind of works out for both parties.
Yes, I think that's the accurate way to describe it. Darcy got more credit than he should have when he was here.
He got
a lot of crap.
Yeah.
But I do think even when he wasn't very consistent here. That's been the thing.
No, he wasn't. And that's why Lindgren's still here, and he's not.
Exactly. So that's kind of been his MO throughout his career. Caps back in action tonight, though. They take on San Jose as Alex Ovechkin looks to get one goal closer to passing the best of all time, Wayne Gretzky, for the NHL's all-time goal-scoring record. Anytime we get to talk about this, right, what other record in sports do you look at and go, there's no chance in hell that that's getting broken?
Well,
but I think for years people looked at Gretzky's goal-scoring record like that.
Well, it goes, there's another record that Wayne Gretzky has that I think will stand probably forever, his assists record.
What is that? What number is that?
I don't know the exact Something number. Crazy. I know he, at the time when he finished his career, he had more assists than anybody else had points, wow, which is assists and goals.
Sheesh.
Yeah. So that's his assist record, I think, is what will stand the test of time, unless, you know, Cale Makar or somebody like that just like lights it up for the next 20 years.
Yeah, years and years at a time.
But yeah, those are the records that I look to.
As we look at, if you look at the schedule, and Washington actually, they're going to have a three game homestand here in the month of March, and then it's a lot of road ventures here on out. What is it? Four of their final six are on the road. That includes two trips to the Garden to take on the Rangers, who anytime you got Igor in between the pipes, you got a chance. I am excited to see what happens in the postseason with this group. The last time I checked, and this is before they had the dud the other night, it was an 11-point lead in the Eastern Conference. So all signs point towards this group having that number one seed. Still keeping an eye and keeping our eyes peeled on Winnipeg and their results to see who actually comes up with the President's Cup trophy. Max, you correctly kind of put me in line the other night, like, hey, it's not the one seed in the East that we're kind of scared of. It's winning the President's Cup trophy because of
Can't have that curse. Can't have that stink on me.
Exactly. It's almost like the Madden cover curse.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar. So we'll see what ultimately happens down the stretch here. Looking at the schedule for the Caps, I mean, it ain't the easiest. It ain't the easiest finish to the season is how I would describe it. It's actually kind of tough. You got Columbus twice. You got the Rangers twice. You got some good teams here before you ultimately end up wrapping things up. Look, I'm more so looking at the record chase right now. We'll talk more hockey X's and O's, so to speak, as we get closer to the end of the regular season. But Alex Ovechkin in prime position to surpass Wayne Gretzky for the NHL's all-time goal-scoring record. Busy, busy, busy weekend around the DMV. Terps in Michigan in action coming up at 3:30. You can hear that on the Team 980. Johnny Holiday, Chris Knocke going to be on the call. When we come back, NFL free agency continuing to move. A big-time domino, quite literally, off the market last night, weakening a division rival. We'll give you the deets on that next. This is The Fan. Terps continue their run in the Big Ten tournament. They were victorious last night in their first game of the tournament. Big winners, 88-65 over Illinois. Rodney Rice, 26 points, 7-9 from the three-point line. Will the Terrapins continue their Taki hot shooting this afternoon as they take on Michigan? You can hear that starting at 3:15 on the Team 980, 3:30 tip-off. Johnny Holiday, Chris Knocke on the call per usual. I'm taking you up to noon. The DOC, Rick Doc Walker, will take you from there. We'll continue to talk all things Wizards as we get into the back half of the show. We mentioned the Keyshawn George stat that, you know, is crazy as hell to me. There's also Pretty interesting nugget out there about Alex Czar as well. These young Wizards playing well, love the effort that they've gotten since the start of February, and we hope that they finish out the regular season on this high note. Right now, though, want to get into the National Football League here real quick as we get ready to close out this first hour of the show. Washington, we spent a lot of time talking about the Commanders and how active and aggressive they should be here during free agency. If you joined me last night on The Fan, Max, I've had an epiphany.
Oh, goodness.
You know, I've had an epiphany. And my epiphany is, and I'll expound upon this as the show rolls on, I just look at this group right now as we sit here on Saturday morning of March the 15th. I don't think they have any glaring holes on this roster anymore after what they've done. And I know everyone's going to look at defensive end and go, you need an edge rusher. That was the number one problem. I think they may have done all they're going to do at the edge rusher spot. And it may disappoint folks. Obviously, the draft is another opportunity for you to add cheap talent. But I think Dietrich Wise, Javon Kinlaw, Dorrance Armstrong, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, I think they're fully prepared to roll with that group. Now, obviously, you're going to add a rookie to the fold somehow, some way. But they kind of showed you last year what they were about when it came to the second wave of free agency and how impactful those guys will ultimately be come September. We'll expound upon that more as the show rolls on. I wanted to get you all some news here because the free agency carousel continues to spin in the National Football League. We got news late last night, and I'm thinking we got it so late because it was an East Coast player taking his talents to the West Coast. The offensive line class in free agency, I always say it's tough to go find bona fide starters that can be with you for years on end because the good ones that are young at that position usually don't hit free agency. We saw the big ticket hit free agency, though. Mekhi Becton, former top 10 pick of the New York Jets at tackle. He got bumped inside the guard last year, gets himself a ring with the Philadelphia Eagles, gets to play under the guidance and tutelage of the best offensive line coach in the NFL, Mr. Jeff Stoutland. And all of a sudden, Mekhi Becton was sought after. Now, I thought it was a foregone conclusion if you're Philadelphia that you bring him back. But once they made the deal for Kenyon Green, I said, you know what? They're probably preparing to lose Mekhi Becton. And they did lose Mekhi Becton. Adam Schefter breaking the news late last night on the East Coast. He goes to the L.A. Chargers. Nasty offensive line now. 2 years, $20 million, $10 million per, obviously, if you can do math. But now you look at, let's just look at it from the Chargers' perspective for a second. Rashawn Slater, Zion Johnson, Bradley Bozeman, Mekhi Becton, Joe Alt. Dude, their offensive line is nasty.
Studs.
And they still have, what is it, pick number 20 overall?
Sounds right.
22 overall, I think is what it is. They're right in the same neighborhood as Pittsburgh. I've seen UNC running back Omarion Hampton mock to them. 22 is where they
play. Ooh.
I've seen Omarion Hampton mock to this group.
And you know who people keep comping Omarion Hampton to?
Who?
One LaDainian Tomlinson.
Get the hell out of here.
That's who I hear people comparing him to. So him on the Chargers would be...
That'd be interesting.
Quite.
That's an interesting comp. I don't think LT... I mean, Omarion don't got the wiggle there. LT was a joystick, bro.
Listen.
Like, LT was nasty, bro.
Nasty.
Like, damn. That just reminds me of, like... It almost makes me think about how far we've come with the running back position and how we disrespected after my childhood growing up, watching dudes like LaDainian Tomlinson, Clinton Portis, the absolute just best of the best, Reggie Bush when he was in his heyday, going Kanye crazy, Brian Westbrook, LaShawn McCoy. I mean, there every year felt like there was a crazy running back in the league.
DeMarco Murray for those
DeMarco
few years.
Murray just Man. Was completely putting his helmet in people's chests. Man, RIP to the running back position. Or maybe really? Not, because this year...
It's Kevin resurgence.
It kind of is, especially with this year. I think we're going to have two guys go in the first round. Ashton Jeanty, obviously, out of Boise State. is the marquee name that most folks are talking about. But when you talk to some around the National Football League, dudes have Omarion Hampton ahead of Ashton Gentry on their board. And I can see why when you look at the stature difference between those two backs. Hampton, bigger, has got the home run ability as well. And there's a little bit less tread on his tires if you're talking about him compared to Ashton Gentry. So I'd be interested. One thing I said last night, and we'll get to it in the 10 o'clock hour when we go all things burgundy and gold, you'd have to kick my ass for Hampton to be on the board at 29 and me not take him.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. If he's there, you gotta.
There are certain guys, and we'll hit on this as we roll throughout the show. You can call us at 1-800-636-1067. There are going to be certain guys on the board for Washington that from a talent perspective, you simply cannot pass up. There are going to be certain guys that are going to be there and available that you go, you know what, man, there's no way I can look at myself as a knower of ball, as Max likes to say, a talent evaluator, and look at this cat and say he doesn't make our football team better. This is why I was going off or about to go off on my whole tangent about I don't think there's a glaring hole. There are holes, none of which are like eye-popping. I think they've done a really decent job in free agency building the foundation and the depth to allow them, right, to go BPA in the draft at every pick that they have. So we'll see ultimately what happens. The big news, though, that we were discussing, Mekhi Becton, no longer in Philadelphia. He signs a 2-year deal with the L.A. Chargers, and all of a sudden Coach Harbaugh up there in L.A. is building a very, very physical football team, and I'm here for it as they look to dethrone the Kansas City Chiefs in what is all of a sudden becoming a loaded AFC West. A lot more to get to as we take you around the DMV and nationwide here on this Saturday morning. It's the Youngest of Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up the noon Eastern time. The DOC, Rick Doc Walker, going to take you at noon. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, touched on this a little bit last night, we'll rehash it again. There is one quarterback domino that is yet to fall in the NFL, and if it falls the way I think it's going to fall, we may have a new pole position player in the NFC. Give you the deets on that next as the Fan. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. It's the Youngest in Charge. Linnell Willingham, I'll take you up to noon Eastern time. The DOC, Rick Doc Walker, will take care of you from there. Mad Max behind the glass taking your calls. Some of the stuff that goes on around this place. Monday through Friday, when all of the characters are around, the Junks, B. Mitch and Finley, Grant and Danny, Chris Russell, Craig, Kevin Sheehan hasn't stepped foot in this building in eon, so I would mention Kevin. But, I mean, it gets even raunchier on Saturdays, is what I would say. It has been an eventful morning for your boy. First and foremost, maybe I just need to pay attention more, Max. If you didn't text me about that stupid run that's going on, and I don't want to, let me not call it a stupid run, because that's harsh. But I've been hosting on The Fan since when? 2022? I'm getting old. So much for the Youngest in Charge, right? But I've been around since 2022 in some shape or form hosting. This is the first time that I really avoided the marathon run. Every time, I never get a heads up from anybody that, hey, Linnell, you know, you might want to adjust your route to work today because they're doing some type of marathon. And I always get caught up in it, and it always has me clenching my ass cheeks as I'm getting ready to get close to the studio. Am I going to make it? Am I not? Today, I got here smooth sailings. No issue. Why? Because I knew that the race was happening. So there we go. We'll talk all things burgundy and gold coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. We'll also continue to take a peek around the National Football League. Free agency in full swing. Monday was the beginning of the legal tampering period. Tuesday, we saw free agency officially open up, or Wednesday rather, we saw free agency officially open up. Washington's been active. Other teams have been active. One team that has actually been very active in free agency to this point, improving the beef of their football team, is that group up there in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. The Vikings, led by quarterback whisperer Kevin O'Connell and defensive guru Brian Flores. There's a rumor out there that they're potentially in on Aaron Rodgers. If the Minnesota Vikings acquire Aaron Rodgers, I will elevate them to the biggest threat in the NFC to Philly. So I've hedged. I've hedged. Because at first I was, well, when I tweeted it, at N-E-L-L underscore BTP, by the way. When I tweeted it yesterday, when I saw the rumor, I think it was Diana Russini of The Athletic. Love me some Diana. She's just the absolute best. Her reporting throughout this thing, I think, and I don't even want to do the whole he said, she said, he's right, she's right. She's been on top of everything throughout free agency in terms of the rumors. She's been
plugged in.
Pretty accurate. And Aaron Rodgers hates her, by the way.
Listen, Aaron Rodgers, don't even get me started, man.
That's the thing, though, Max. Like, that's that comment right there.
This song and dance that we're doing, bro, is so exhausting.
But the attitude towards him, stop letting, and Max is guilty of it, too. You just heard him. We let our personal feelings about him off the field.
It's not.
Color him on the field.
But what has he done since he came to New York? What has he done?
Tore his Achilles, damn it.
All right. And then what do you do the year after?
Dropped a fire Netflix special.
All right. I don't know what that has to do with football.
Got Robert Saleh fired.
You get a defensive coach fired by being so bad at offense that, all right.
Boosted the ratings of the McAfee show. I mean, there's some things he's done in New York. Don't try to make it seem like.
We haven't done a single thing like elevating football a football team.
I get your bigger point. I get your bigger point. Listen. This is the thing, and I pulled these numbers up last night, if you were tapped into us. 3,900 yards, 28 touchdowns, 11 picks on that god-awful Jets team that didn't have any sort of leadership that was being led by MAGA Woody.
Throwing a Garrett Wilson.
Well, Garrett Wilson Garrett Wilson couldn't stand Aaron Rodgers.
Can't.
So I just look at the supporting cast in Minnesota, if that is the ultimate destination. I look at the supporting cast and go, man.
It's the best receiving core in football. It's the best receiving core that he has played with in a long time.
Jay Jettas, baby three.
Yeah.
TJ Hockenson, Aaron Jones in the backfield. Not to mention they have draft capital, ladies and gentlemen. I look at Minnesota, if they add Aaron Rodgers and kind of put the J.J. McCarthy era on hold, I look at them as the biggest threat to Philadelphia in the NFC. And based on some of the losses we've seen already from Philly, Mekhi Becton, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Darius Slay, right? Josh Sweat, Milton Williams, Dallas Goedert may be on the way out soon. They're taking calls on him. How do you look at Minnesota and not go, damn, maybe they're better than Philadelphia? With Rodgers is what I would say. And I know people act as if he's the devil on the defensive line, but Minnesota beefing up the interior of both of their offensive lines by bringing in Ryan Kelly, bringing in Will Fries, getting the combo of John Allen and Javon Hargrave, you made your football team better.
They did.
You got better on both sides of the ball. So I look at Minnesota as a group that's got to be taken seriously. But my bigger point in my bigger like catalyst for the irritability that I have with this is like Max just did it, but everyone does it. It is the sexy, cute thing to poo-poo on Aaron Rodgers, no pun intended. Oh my God. It just is. It just is. And everyone looks at what he does off the field, and it allows them to color their opinion of him on the field. And I just gave you the numbers. Before we had that bad man pajama JD5 in here, you all would have paid for 3,900 yards passing, 28 tubs 11 pickles. You would have paid for it. So let's not act as if he has fallen off of a cliff. Also, the thing about last year, first year removed from an Achilles. We saw how Kirk Cousins looked last year, first year removed from an Achilles. It's a thing at the quarterback position with these type of quarterbacks that are older in age. Now, I get it. 2022 in Green Bay was blech. When we beat that team, I knew that they stunk.
So, and that's the thing about Rodgers, I feel like. If you let him take control, it goes awry.
Yes.
If you keep his ass in line,
yes,
then things can start to kind of go the way you want it to go.
Yes.
But if they bring in Rodgers, what does that say about J.J. McCarthy?
Like, what do they know? Here's the thing that Diana and others have reported on the J.J. McCarthy situation. He missed all of last year.
Mm-hmm.
He got hurt in the preseason. Their plan for him, they were really starting to become fond of him as camp started to roll around. And he had made strides. Because remember the initial thought when he was drafted was, it was probably a redshirt year for him.
Mm-hmm.
They were getting comfortable to the point where they were thinking about playing him during the regular season because of how much growth he had showed from the spring to the summer. And when he gets hurt, it throws a wrench in their plans. Not only does he get hurt, but then he has an infection during one of the surgeries. And then he has to go in and get another invasive cleanup procedure that prevented him from working out. And the reports coming out of Minnesota is he dropped a bunch of weight.
Ooh.
And for a guy that was already not big, him losing weight is a problem. So I look at the missed development time for J.J. McCarthy and go, if you are Kevin O'Connell, you were 14-3 last year, man. If you're Kwesi Adofo-Mensah.
With Sam Darnold.
With Sam Darnold, yes. But you got the absolute most out of a Jag. Let's be real.
Until he turned right back into
a Jag.
The Jag.
Right. And I think his situation at the end of the season in the postseason kind of made this decision easy for Minnesota because they could have franchise tagged him, right?
So much easier.
They could have kept him, but they understood that, hey, we're looking for an upgrade here. I am curious to see, from Minnesota's perspective, can you look Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson, Jonathan Grenard, can you look your veterans in the face and say that we're trying to do everything we can to improve off of last year's 14-3 season? Can you look them in the face and say that while also at the same time trotting J.J. McCarthy out there, the ultimate unknown right now at the quarterback position? That, to me, is what it comes down to. That is the conversation that ultimately is had between the folks in Minnesota. And I think from the Vikings' perspective, you mentioned it, Max. Where is Rodgers last succeeded? Green Bay. Why? Matt LaFleur had his foot up Rodgers' arse. Wasn't letting him get away with whatever he wanted to. He wasn't pulling the strings. I think Kevin O'Connell's got the same type of temperament in Minnesota. First hour in the books right here on the Team 980 as well as 106.7 The Fan. We'll take a quick time out. When we come back, you can start lining up on the phones. 1-800-636-1067. When we come back, I will tell you three massive decisions that Washington must make before the NFL draft. That's next on The Fan.